let's go up to our ring announcer.
The following podcast is scheduled for one episode and is our vantage point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
Outside, we couldn't see it from our vantage point.
Fans, and welcome to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 41, our season 5 premiere. It is Monday, July 24th, 2017, and as always, I am Joe Murata alongside Michael Quinn. How you doing, Quinn?
Howdy doody.
Welcome to season 5, my friend.
Wow.
We made it.
We did make it.
We made it off that cliff, man.
Yeah, we're close to the amount of seasons with Game of Thrones now. What are they at, 6?
And just as high quality, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
One of these days, HBO is going to pick us up.
Us on HBO, that sounds interesting.
Hey, I mean, at the very least, we fit their demo. People that like quality serial entertainment.
Yeah, and cursing and
cursing
nudity.
Yeah, remember all that nudity we have on the show?
Nudity on an audio podcast, yeah.
Well, folks, thank you as always for joining us. Welcome to our Season 5 premiere. We've got a little tweak to the format, which we'll get to in a second.
Yes.
Before we do, just want to remind you of a couple of things. As always, feel free to reach us on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can let us know your thoughts, let us know what's on your mind, maybe give us some suggestions, tweet weird pictures to us or something like that.
The GIFs, the GIFies.
Yeah, the GIFies.
The GIFs.
We love the GIFs.
I don't know what they're called anymore because people seem to debate that.
The GIFs. How about that?
GIFs. Notorious GIFs.
Notorious GIFs.
Yeah.
And of course, you can email us at ovppodcast@gmail.com. That is ovppodcast@gmail.com. Michael Quinn, got a Facebook group.
Yeah, there is a Facebook group where you can chat it up.
Yep.
With the fans, with us. We're on there. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, Marty and all them, they're all having fun on there.
Yeah. It's a good time.
You can get there by going to facebook.feet. And if you type in the search bar, Our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast, it's there. Hit join and we'll let you in.
We will let you in. And Quinn, besides our normal SoundCloud feed, of course, there's some other places to find us. You want to run those down real quick?
Well, as usual, there is Apple Podcast or iTunes Podcast, whatever it's called nowadays. And you can hit the subscribe button over there. And then the podcast just magically zaps into your phone and you don't have to look for it anymore.
It zaps.
And then you can just hit play.
Yep.
Right? So you can do that. And also there, you can leave a review.
Oh, yeah. We'd like that, actually.
Yeah, we love reviews.
We do.
So please feel free to leave a review. Let the other fans know what you think of this great podcast.
Sean Mooney actually left us a review a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
Nice of him.
Yeah, the at Sean Mooney Who.
Yeah, that's left. Actually
it's the,
him.
It's the most recent review. It's actually from him.
Yeah,
so that's
was.
Kind of awesome.
Very nice of him.
And there's also Google Play Music, Stitcher, and of course, Otto.
Who cares?
Yeah, and various other places that we aren't going to list anymore.
Yes.
But who cares? We're keeping that. Don't worry, folks. It's not going away.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Who cares? It'll be here to stay. Speaking of the places, though, Quinn, of course, you can also reach us on the placetobenation.com. It is a great place. It's the only place, actually, to be in your pop culture world. There's some awesome wrestling podcasts on there. We happen to be on there, so you can listen to us twice.
Yeah, we love when you listen to us twice because then you know more about what we're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. Got to absorb it all.
Yeah.
There's the Place to Be podcast, the flagship, the mothership, as they say.
The gold standard.
The gold standard. And there's a few other ones. We are very big, both of us, Quinn and I, on GF Allentown on the Pro Wrestling Only feed.
Oh, yeah, we're big on that and in Sheboygan. And that's a great little podcast.
Yeah, we sold about 623 copies of that.
In Chicago?
No, Sheboygan. Very big in Sheboygan.
Not about Sheboygan. It's about wrestling shows, random wrestling shows.
Petey Winston.
Petey's the host, and he peats it up, and it's awesome. It's actually a really good show.
We're really laughing,
but it is an awesome show.
It comes out on Thursday mornings, and I actually look forward to it. I'm not, to be honest, I don't know about you, Quinn. I'm not a big podcast listener, especially in the wrestling world.
I go on and off, but I listen to like video game podcasts and other things as well.
But I look forward to this one.
Yes.
Not just saying that. We don't get any money for this.
No.
We just happen to like Petey. He's a friend of the show, a fan of ours as well. He does a great one-man show there, reviewing old stuff.
We like to support things that we like.
Exactly.
Like Coca-Cola.
Yes, exactly. Coca-Cola. Speaking of supporting us, if you want to, no pressure. We promise we will never beg for your money. We do have the merch, Quinn.
There is merch.
There
you
is
actually
merch.
Get something for your money.
Yeah.
It's a great little white t-shirt that
yes.
has our kind of our alternative logo on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, our alternate logo.
Our alternate logo. And, you know, you can wear it in the summer because
mm-hmm.
it's the summer. It's the hot
yep.
summer right now. And you can go to the beach and wear it. And it's great.
Eventually, we'll get the OVP knit cap for the
yes,
winter.
The OVP coffee mug. I've been looking forward to that one.
The OVP bumper sticker.
So
I mean, you never
put
know.
My rum and Coke in it.
And if you want that shirt and whatever other merch we decide to make in the future, you can go to teespring.com. That is T-E-E spring.com/OVP podcast. And one last thing to mention. We're going to try our very best, as we've mentioned the last several weeks, to keep up with all of your requests. And to do so, Quinn, we've made a spreadsheet.
There's a spreadsheet. I'm thinking about putting it on the website, actually. It might be up there by the time of this airing.
Yes.
But there is a spreadsheet, and you can find it on our Facebook group.
Uh-huh.
And if you just click on it, it's like a Google Docs thing. And
yep.
you can just add it in, and it's got the category, like the type of thing you want, what it is, and your name.
Yep.
So we can call you out.
Yep.
If you don't want to leave a name, you can just say anonymous or
you
something.
Can say anon.
Yeah. But do it.
We want to hear from you.
Yeah, because we're going to definitely have suggestions today.
Absolutely. But Quinn, we are now in season 5, and keeping in theme with tweaking things every season, you know, we have decided to change up the format just a tiny, tiny bit. Nothing
oh,
major.
Boy.
Don't freak out, everybody.
Freak out. Freak out.
Our opening segment now is a brand new one.
Yes, it is.
And it is called Why Did They Even Bother? And so each week for this season, Quinn and I are going to volley, you know, back and forth each
mm-hmm.
week, why a particular promotion or whomever it might be bothered with something. Now, that could be an angle.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a wrestler, a concept, a gimmick, maybe a show, a pay-per-view, anything, right? And I have the privilege of kicking it off.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
So, Quinn, I'm going to set the stage for you.
Okay. I'm sitting in the seat in the theater. You're going to set the stage.
That's right.
Okay.
I am. I'm decorating the stage.
Okay. Decorate it.
It's early 97 in WWF, okay?
Okay.
They're losing to WCW in the ratings war, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting period of time that you and I are very fond of because Vince Russo has now started to have some influence. He wasn't the head writer yet until a little bit later.
Yes.
In 97.
This is true.
Mid-97. And it's a time where it really did feel like anything could happen.
Anything can always happen in the World Wrestling Federation, according to Vince.
Exactly. You've got Sid, you've got Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Steve Austin, Undertaker, all this stuff going on, a lot of shades of gray, right?
Yeah.
Heels fighting heels. In the midst of all this, emerges a tag team.
Oh, boy.
Comprised of an aging, kind of washed up, past his prime wrestler, and an up-and-comer that no one cared about. And Quinn, my question to you and the fans at home is why do they even bother with the new Blackjacks?
Oh my God, that?
Yes.
That's what you kick off with this?
Yes.
They are junk, man. Okay, so the Blackjacks, right, they were like a tag team in like
the
early 80s.
And the 70s.
Late 70s,
yes.
Something like that.
Blackjack Lanza and Blackjack Mulligan.
I mean, if you ask me why they even bothered, I honestly always thought that Vince was just a mark for the Blackjacks, just like he loves Buddy Rogers and all sorts of crap, like in Samoans and things like that.
He does.
And midgets.
But this new Blackjacks, Quinn, was Barry Windham, the son of Blackjack Mulligan.
Right. But he doesn't look like Barry Windham at all.
Right, because
yeah.
he's got the hair dyed black.
It's short.
And it's short with a mustache,
yeah,
right? The big handlebar mustache.
They had to have mustache. Their mustaches.
They had to have them.
Because they had to be exactly like the original Blackjacks.
And Quinn, who's his partner?
Oh, Faggle, 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 Faggle!
JBL himself.
Bradshaw!
Yeah, Bradshaw.
Coming off of your favorite gimmick, Justin the Hawk Bradshaw.
Well, okay, so this is an argument, actually. What was worse was Justin the Hawk Bradshaw with Uncle Zeb.
Right.
Or Blackjack Bradshaw.
I would put my money on Blackjack Bradshaw.
I don't know
worse.
About that. I mean,
I think so.
The Hawk was, you know how I feel about, and he's not even the Hawk. He's Justin Hawk Bradshaw.
He went from being imitation Stan Hansen to being imitation Blackjack Lanza.
I'm a 44-year-old man who buys his underwear at Walmart. No.
He's imitation everything. He's imitation Million Dollar Man.
Right.
He's imitation being an Undertaker person.
Yeah, the Acolyte.
Yeah.
This is why I question why they bothered with it, Quinn.
Okay.
Everything I just mentioned, right?
Yeah.
Bulldog, Owen, Brett, Shawn, Sid, Undertaker, Mankind, Vader, even throw in Triple H and Goldust. Right. Fine, right? Yeah. But, like, the gritty storylines, right? In come these fucking cartoon characters. It's two Yosemite Sams coming in. What were they thinking?
Rat, dirty, Perkish, Harkaback, Flatten, Borton, Philip, Bunker, Martin, Perkaluma, Burton, Durton, Bush, Madden, Martin, and Adam.
I don't know, because this is a lot of this stuff would like get spread out amongst this era too.
Right.
There's a lot of this like revival crap. Like, I know the NWA eventually, yeah. And like all this bullshit.
Which,
like,
Wyndham was in, right?
No, they didn't have a manager, did they? Did they have Uncle Zeb with them?
No!
What was the point of this? Like,
I don't know. That's the whole thing.
Okay, did they ever challenge for the tag titles? I can't even recall.
I'm sure they did, but in a tag division that had Bulldog and Owen as like the best guys.
They weren't touching them.
Right. And even Furnace and LeFou or whatever. Yeah. Pepe LeFou.
LeFon
and DeFerni.
Yeah.
And then New Diesel and New Razor Ramon.
Well,
or whatever
that team,
they were.
I will say, is inferior to New Blackjacks.
You didn't get enough of Big Daddy Cool and Razor Ramon.
But it was just like such a misguided decision to me, because first of all, great, I get it. Like, the Blackjacks were, I guess, a good team, yeah, in the 70s. Who the fuck cared in 97?
Nobody even remembered them. And you know what? I will say this. I feel like the seeds were kind of planted for it, because I remember Vince, like, always mentioning them slightly.
He loved the Blackjacks.
Yeah, he'd bring
you're
them
right
up. He'd be like, if a team was, like, sort of like them, he'd be like, oh, they're you know, like the Blackjacks, you know?
Folks, if you haven't seen the New Blackjacks, you didn't miss anything good. They teamed for about a year.
That was long, too.
It was so long.
I remember them being involved a lot in the tag division.
They were always lingering around.
You know what they also were? They were always the guys that would come out, like, if they had to separate people. Yeah, like, you ever know? Like, that's, yeah, how you know your shit. It's like, you're the guys that, like, separate the people.
Yeah, you're Tony Gurria, basically. Yeah.
Or, like, Tito in, like, a jeans and a t-shirt. The purple t-shirt.
Now, let's see, Quinn. Let's get our actual at-the-time reactions. I want to start with you. You were a fan by then, and this, like we mentioned, was an interesting time where things were really starting to become interesting. What went through your mind? Do you remember what went through your mind when these guys debuted?
Well, I'll say this. Because I was new, mm-hmm, I thought, oh, cool, another tag team. They're in black. That's kind of neat. I didn't know
right
the original. I heard of them. And in fact, I actually sort of thought they were the original guys.
Did
that,
you
like,
really?
Like, no, but like one of them was. Like, I thought Barry Windham was.
Because he looked old.
Yeah, exactly. He looked. So I thought, like, oh, it's like he was in the original one and like he got like a new one. Like, because I was new and I didn't know, right? And
sure,
it was only like my first year or so in wrestling. And so they come along. And I don't remember, personally, I don't remember them doing anything of importance.
They really didn't.
So immediately I just associated them with, like, not like a jobber tag team, but just a guy that would only beat jobbers. Like,
right,
they would,
yeah,
never beat anybody like of use.
And they,
like,
really didn't.
Yeah.
In fact, they were so uninspired and unimportant that did you know, Quinn, they actually turned face at some point and no one knew.
When did that happen?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I don't even
remember. They were, though.
A face run, really?
They were face for a part of 97.
That's weird.
No one cared. This is the whole thing. Like,
I just thought they were there. I didn't really think of them as heels or faces, though. I just thought they existed.
That's like, worse.
They were just part, because, in all honesty, in the end, all that came off to me is just people that populated the tag division so that Bulldog and Owen could be champions of something.
And that's my whole point is, why did they bother? Like, I get that Justin Hawk Bradshaw was nothing more than like a Stan Lane clone, and that wasn't going to go far. And Barry Windham had just come off the Stalker.
You mean Stan Hansen? Stan Lane? Did you say Stan Lane?
I thought I said Stan Hansen.
No, you said Stan. I was thinking about it for a minute.
Like a Stan Lane clone. Stan
That's
Hansen, imitation Stan Hansen, and Barry Windham just coming off the Stalker, right?
Yeah.
If they wanted to team them up, Mm-hmm. Fine, like, do it.
Yeah,
but why are they, couldn't they have updated the gimmick? Like, they literally looked like they strolled out of a saloon in the 1870s.
What I think the biggest missed opportunity with it, no pun intended, I know that was a thing on us, why was Blackjack Lanza not their manager
or Mulligan?
What
right?
the hell was what were they doing?
Like, yeah, why wasn't one of the Blackjacks their manager?
That's what I thought. Or they could have even just dressed up Uncle Zeb in like a Blackjack outfit and just said he was one of them. He kind of looked like a
it
fat version
fine.
Anyway.
Yeah, no one would have cared. Yeah. Just pretend that he was Lanza or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Just, it would have worked.
Or
I don't know. They were just nothing. Like, even the Godwins were like better
right?
than them. Like,
they were worse than the Godwins.
And I, trust me, I like Southern Justice. However, you know, they weren't that yet.
No, they weren't.
They were still like dancing around with Hillbilly Jim like assholes. So they, right. but they still were better.
They were. That's the whole thing. It just, it's, they stick out like a sore thumb.
A sore black hat.
Yeah, because the WWF was so rapidly and interestingly changing during that period of time. Where you had, like I said earlier, these real, kind of true-to-life things going on. Just shades of gray and people being pissed off at each other. And you just have a couple of freaking, like, 70s relics running in. It just made no sense to me.
Did you say at the beginning of this that they came in 97? Because...
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny, because you're talking about the relics and stuff.
Right.
Because in my brain, I envision them being there as, like, early as late 95. Because so, like... Nothing.
Right.
Like, they're so like what would be then.
Right. Now, I don't know whose idea that was, but I can guarantee you it was not Vince Russo's.
Oh, no. This was Vince all the way. It was Vince McMahon's all the way.
It must have been,
right? It had to be,
right? Jim Cornette, maybe.
Yeah,
motherfucker, put them together, motherfucker!
He had no associate. They were old school WWF guys. Like, that was definitely a Vince McMahon thing.
You think Vince Jr. really liked them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's like, I like them, so everyone else does.
You know what, though? Here's a good question for you to close out this segment. Should they have bothered? Is it better than the Stalker and Justin Hawk Bradshaw?
That it is better than that.
Okay.
I will say this. At least it gave Bradshaw something to do, because they weren't getting rid of him anytime soon.
True. Vince loved him from day one.
Yeah, he could have done a lot more putrid nonsense than just be like an indescript cowboy.
True.
So it got him out of our hair, and they weren't really bothering anyone.
You know, that's a good point.
I seem to recall them being like friends with Flash Funk or something. Like,
that doesn't make it good.
Yeah, I know. I just mean that like they were associated with that kind of crowd.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, like so.
So, and what do you, as far as Barry Windham is concerned, was it better than the Stalker?
It was employment. His prospects weren't looking good. I always say this about Barry Windham. What the F happened to him?
What happened to him?
He was like the world champion in like what, 93 or something?
Yeah, 93. He was literally in the 80s, late 80s, you know, into the early 90s, one of the best wrestlers in North America.
And he was hyped as like kind of like an up and comer, like even in the late 80s.
He wasn't even old. I'll tell you what, he was probably only about 36, 37 when he was in the Blackjacks.
That's not even that bad.
He wasn't even that old.
But
Bret Hart was older.
It's like he fell off a horse cart.
He wanted to play 21.
Yeah. I don't know. Was he a drunk? Like, I don't know what was wrong with him.
I know that he had injured his back at some point in the 90s, maybe the mid 90s, like 94, but.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they bring him in as the Stalker and other just crap.
I know.
Wasn't he just Barry Windham at one point?
In the NWA revival that you hate.
Yeah, he just...
That's a good one to bring up, actually,
Quinn.
Yeah,
he's another... He's just a guy that I don't know what the F happened to him. Like, I really don't get it.
And I don't know if it was maybe a situation where Vince wanted Barry Windham to kind of mentor Bradshaw, which I don't know if they did in real life. I can't remember. Like, it might have been a situation where Vince really liked Bradshaw.
And he thought Barry Windham could teach him, so
he could teach him how to suck.
I mean, who knows? Again, like you said, why even bother?
Why bother, right?
Yeah, I don't know. F that. Like,
well, I agree with you. But folks, we hope you continue to bother listening to us, because we will be back with Season 5's first Mount Rushmore and Death Valley right after this.
And here come the Blackjacks.
Occasion to speak to the Blackjacks a little earlier on about their matchup here tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We're kicking off this tag team tournament here. The Blackjacks to face Owen Hart and the Bulldog.
Davey Boy Smith and Owen Hart Let me tell you two something. You might have been the tag team champions before, but the Blackjacks have yet to taste the championship victory in the World Wrestling Federation. This is our chance at glory.
The fact is, boys, we're walking out of this match the winners. But what you Canadian idiots get hit with a lariat, you ain't walking out at all.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
From Harley Race to Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair to The Rock, Sting to Steve Austin, you're listening to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. Glad to be with you for episode number 41 on Monday, July 24th, 2017. Quinn, Mount Rushmore in Death Valley is not gone anywhere.
Oh, I don't think it's going to be gone for a while.
It won't be gone for a while because we've got a plethora of fan requests. And Quinn, you have the privilege, the honor, if you will, of selecting this week's lucky winner of the Mount Rushmore in Death Valley sweepstakes.
Well, this week's winner is Brian J. Rochester.
Okay.
He requested this for Rushmore, and it is Brawlers.
Brawlers?
Yes, Brawlers.
All right, okay, this will be an interesting one.
I got the pick, you got the stick.
Look at you!
I did it!
You did it, Quinn!
I didn't mess it up, I didn't say, I have the pick.
Stick this somewhere.
I didn't mess it up. Isn't that pretty good?
You're moving on up for season five, Quinn. I like that.
To the east side. Okay, you're up.
All right, so a brawler to me is someone that doesn't do the technical wrestling holds. Is that assume what we're going for here?
Yes, you could even be some guy that's more hardcore,
okay,
that kind of thing.
A brawler is interesting because for much of professional wrestling's lifespan, in the early days I'm talking, it was much more serious, right? The wrestling holds,
right?
You know, like, let's put this hold on the guy, you know, and the reasons, you know, physiologically and anatomically why this hold hurts. But then you had brawlers start to creep in, what, maybe the 60s, 70s, into the 80s, and they didn't care about that.
Yeah, and then the 90s creep up, and then ECW's basically, I know it calls itself hardcore wrestling, but essentially it's brawling.
It is brawling.
It's just a brawling promotion.
You're absolutely right. It's brawling with a lot more blood and weaponry.
Yeah,
but it's brawling.
Yes, I consider it at its core brawling. So I would figure ECW guys would probably be prominent on the list.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I would have to say, though, if we're going to talk about brawlers, it wouldn't be right if I didn't at least mention one of the preeminent, one of the early ones that was a great brawler. That would be the Bruiser.
I've had enough of you. You woke me up a half hour ago. You climbed over my fence.
From AWA.
Wow, you're going that
I'm going far that back. Far back because he might have been the reason that brawling was able to become a sustainable thing in wrestling.
Yeah. When I think early ones, and I don't think we're even in the nomination phase here.
No, we're just volleying.
You know who I think is prominent in the brawling scene early on, too? Mm. Harley Race.
In order to prove me wrong, get off your backside and hop in a ring with me anywhere around the world.
Yeah, Harley Race is a good one.
Brawl. I know he did his holds and all that, but I always remember, like, famously taking that table bump.
Oh, against Hogan.
Yeah.
In 88, yeah.
And
great,
like,
table bump.
Yeah.
Table bump in 88, for crying out loud.
But? I think one guy goes above the rest in the early brawlers, and he might even be a Rushmore candidate.
Who's that?
Terry Funk.
I am going to beat on that man, beat on him, and kick him, until I can kick some sense into him.
Yeah, Terry Funk, who I know we discussed a couple of episodes back because he had those two distinct phases of his career.
Right, but even that stuff started, his brawling started in the 80s, really, so that's early for that kind of style.
That became the last half of his career, and he was one of the, if not the most notable wrestlers, brawlers, whatever you want to call them, in that scene. But I would like to volley another one to you.
Okay.
When you talk about a brawler, someone that did not build their name on technical wrestling whatsoever, Mick Foley.
You sick sons of bitches! You ripped out my heart! You took everything I believed in and you flushed it down the damn toilet!
Mick Foley. Right. So,
got some names here.
We got some names, and I think Funk and Foley would definitely be up there.
They are up there.
But there's a couple others.
Okay.
Vader.
Yeah, Vader really didn't wrestle. He did power moves. He punched you in the face.
No, he was known for that, like, those like, I call them, like, the bear chops or whatever they are. Like,
he clubbed you, basically.
Yeah, the clubbing, yes.
He just clubbed the shit out of you. Did big power moves. Nothing technical about his style.
Yeah, I really actually like Vader. I think Vader is the most entertaining brawler I've ever seen. He's a spectacle.
He is fun to watch, I'll say that. He really is. You know, you and I love that series he had. Bit of an underrated series with the boss, Big Boss Man,
right?
And in WCW.
Yeah, and I think that alone also showed me the Boss Man's brawling appeal as well.
Yeah, he could brawl too.
And I mean, he never really ever wrestled. He was just basically a brawler. He'd just, you know, throw his body at you and do, you know what I mean? Like, even the Boss Man in WWF, like with the police, they call it police. He's a corrections officer, but... You know, that whole thing. I don't ever remember the Boss Man putting, like, technical holds on people, ever.
Not really. I got another one for you, Quinn, so we can start getting some nominations going here. Yeah. This guy also built a career on brawling.
Right.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't wrestle.
No, he didn't. And I always think back to that Rick McGraw thing right before. He really beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
And that's some... He was the best brawler of his time. And at least, like, in the WWF, like, by him. Like, he was really the prominent brawler.
That's what he was known for. I mean, he himself admitted, out of kayfabe, that the only match where he really attempted to really, really wrestle was that Bret Hart match.
Right.
At WrestleMania
And he was 8. Good at that,
and he
too.
Was good at that.
Yeah, he was good at that, but it
but
was...
But his whole MO was brawling.
Yeah, and I always think... I know nobody really looks at it, but the Bad News Brown match at WrestleMania 6 is a bit ahead of its time because...
You think so, huh?
Yeah, because I don't... Like, back then, like... Brawling into the crowd or whatever.
Sure.
Like
down the entranceway.
Down the entranceway. Yeah. They didn't necessarily go in the crowd. They got close, but
yeah,
that wasn't really like focused on. And it's happening at WrestleMania in like a huge arena.
True.
Like, it's kind of awesome.
It's a good point. What about the Legion of Doom? Road Warriors. They were brawlers.
I guess they were. I think of them more as power guys.
Okay. Demolition. They were brawlers, Quinn.
Yeah.
They
again, in
wrestle.
The same vein, but yeah. I just, you know, with the brawlers, I a lot of times think of them fighting on the outside.
Okay.
And those teams kind of kept it on the inside.
Sure.
And I know Vader kind of kept it on the inside too, but Vader would go out there a little bit.
He would. You know, a guy that really kind of spearheaded or popularized the late 90s, early 2000s WWF main event style for the time, and it was due to injury, was Steve Austin.
Yes. Steve Austin, very prominent brawler.
Even
no
though
doubt,
he was
no
a
doubt
great,
about it.
Great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but he couldn't wrestle anymore because he was hurt. So
correct, yep.
He switched it to brawling, and I think he became one of the better brawlers of all time.
I think so, too, and I think that qualifies him for, you know, consideration.
So we got a couple names here.
We do.
I know we breezed over this one, but I really think, like, the guy that would probably be number one in most people's eyes is Mick Foley.
I think Mick Foley has to be, and it's not just because of the bump he took, but it's because... When you think about Mick Foley, he never really, unless it was supposed to be ironic, he never wrestled.
He, in that ECW thing, that's the only thing.
That's the only
and
time.
And that was a joke.
The like, anti-hardcore gimmick
that
he did.
Yeah, the anti-hardcore gimmick.
Other than that, he built a career on being a damn good, entertaining, interesting, must-watch brawler.
He was innovative in what he did in his brawling, in my opinion. I mean, I had never seen stuff like that. Like,
absolutely.
And the interesting situations, it never felt acted. It never felt like nowadays where you watch and it's like, okay, it's time for this spot with this thing. It's like, no, with Foley, it just felt like it was just organic. It's like, oh, there's this thing here. Let me hit you with it. You know, like, oh, I'm in a punching, like, okay, let's punch it out on the outside. Like, it's just, it's natural.
Absolutely. And a lot of people like to remember his Undertaker Hell in the Cell match, but let's not forget, this dude had a fantastic match with Shawn Michaels in 96.
Yeah.
He had an amazing match with Steve Austin in 98. I think it was at the one right after WrestleMania or the one two after. I can't remember.
Yeah,
they had two. They were both really good. And of course, the Triple H, two matches.
The Royal Rumble 2001 is one of his best performances ever. And you know, one performance by Foley that's often looked over, but I feel like it's his last good one. That one with Edge. At one of the WrestleManias.
Yeah, in 2006, I think it was, right? It was awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know what, Quinn? I think we can put Foley on as number one. I think that's fair, right?
Yeah, that's good.
All right, so Mick Foley, welcome to Mount Rushmore. All right, so Foley, number one. No question there. No controversy
no
from my point
of
view.
Yeah.
So where are we going next?
I think in the field we had talked about of people,
mm-hmm.
I think Terry Funk.
Yeah.
That's who I think of. That's like the two I think of with that is Foley and Funk.
I think you're right. Funk was fearless.
Yeah.
Funk was willing to put his body on the line to entertain people. And he was another guy that built the ladder. Most people, unless they watch really early on, they know Terry Funk as the bloody guy in ECW.
He even had the look of a brawler. The difference between a brawler and just like a spots hardcore kind of guy mm-hmm. thing or whatever is I feel like Terry Funk would use his fists.
Yeah, he and had that's great
what
punches.
That's what I remember about him. And I remember the taped fists, and he kind of had gear that looked like he was in there to punch the crap out of you.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
He wasn't screwing around, basically.
Right, exactly.
He was there to punch the crap out of you. That's a good way to put it. I'll put him on, Quinn, if you're cool with it.
Yeah, put him in.
He can be number two. Let's put Terry Funk on as number two. All right, we've got two more, Michael.
I got a weird one for you.
Go ahead.
And I'll make my case. You know who was a decent brawler?
Who?
The Rock.
Yeah.
The Rock, maybe not Rushmore, but maybe under consideration, because The Rock could do the brawling thing, and he was cool about it, too. I always loved that he would get on the mic a lot during while he was brawling.
Right.
Like, he did things with brawling that it hadn't been taken there before. It gave the cocky character as a brawler is kind of interesting, right? Like that.
Yes.
The cool cocky, not like Piper, but
yeah. One of my favorite spots with him in a brawling context was that match against Steve Austin at Backlash 99, where The Rock grabs a cameraman's camera and he's just shooting Austin, you know, with the camera. And then Austin spins him around and you see Austin give him the double bird and stun him.
And that
fucking awesome.
Yeah. And if that felt like it was all The Rock's idea, because those kind of things The Rock was good at. And I feel like he did bring an element of like new things to brawling.
He made it fun.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, love it or hate it, his halftime heat match against Mankind.
That's a great match.
In 99, yeah, it is. It's fun.
It's stupid, but it's
so stupid, but it's fun, right?
Yeah, and it feels like both competitors contributed idea-wise into it. It's like a mixture of it, right?
Oh, yeah, because there's definitely The Rock all over that, where like he throws salsa at Mankind, and then Mankind sells it, and The Rock tastes it, and he's like, that's mild sauce, you baby! You
yeah,
know, that's
exactly.
Totally The Rock.
Yeah.
What a great match, and The Rock is, that's not a bad pick, but I think we gotta go Piper.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw him in there,
sure.
But I think Piper, to me, Piper is like the preeminent, like,
WWF 80s brawler,
right?
That's the guy that was there to brawl.
To show his influence, really, I mean, the Dean Ambrose character.
Oh, yeah.
I know people want to say he's Stone Cold, he's all this other stuff. He's freaking Roddy Piper, like, all the way.
More than anyone else, Ambrose is influenced by Roddy Piper.
But that's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
Roddy Piper's one of the all-time greats to me. I know some people don't like him as much, but I really like him.
I like him, too.
Yeah.
I do. He was the brawler of the WWF in the 80s. That's what he did.
Right.
That's who he was.
Exactly.
Put him on?
Yeah, put him in.
All right. I still think the Bruiser deserves some consideration, Quinn. I know we're not too big on the stuff way before our time, but this guy was extremely influential in terms of character.
He was.
Brawling style. I mean, this really was a guy that there might not be a Stone Cold or a Sandman, who we didn't mention yet, if it wasn't for the Bruiser. Now, Sandman is another guy.
Yeah, I think before we get through going back to what we had, we got to get to address some of the ECW guys because they were something.
Who do you think was the best ECW brawler, though, besides Funk? We mentioned him, yeah.
There was Funk. I really enjoy Tommy Dreamer because Tommy Dreamer could give it and he could take it as a brawler. Like, that was cool, what was cool about him.
That's true. What about Sandman?
The Sandman, another great one. The Sandman, he, to me, introduced a lot of the brawler is sloppy kind of stuff to the equation.
And again, a lot of Bruiser influence there, to be fair.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bruiser, Quinn, Bruiser Brody.
Oh, Bruiser Brody, of course.
I'm not going to jump in on his match. I'm going to be the match. And when the final bell rings, the results are going to be the same.
Yeah.
There might not be a Mankind without Bruiser Brody.
Bruiser Brody, definitely influential in that field. I will not take anything away from him. The problem with Bruiser Brody, and, you know, we always say this, he's actually a guilty, you know, thing here. I never really saw much of Bruiser Brody.
That's true. I've only seen limited amounts of him, and Quinn and I don't like to comment too much on stuff that we don't know much about.
Yeah,
because we're not experts here. But from what we know about Brody, though, I mean, he right. was hugely influential,
and that's actually why I've strayed away from the Bruiser sure. in general. Because again,
yeah, we know his influence.
We know the influence. We just don't know
limited,
the matches.
Limited amount
right.
of experience.
So I don't think we're qualified to put either of those guys on it, unfortunately.
Right, and that's where you fans come in, because we are doing our Mount Rushmore in Death Valley.
Yeah,
because it's what we've seen, not what other people say.
Right.
What we've seen. So let us know yours. You can do that on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can, of course, email us or use that good old Facebook group.
Oh, yeah.
Quinn, I got one. I got a question.
Okay.
Does Duggan qualify as a brawler to you?
He's a brawler.
Not one of the Rushmores.
He's not the kind of... He's a cartoony brawler to me.
Like Hogan?
Yeah.
Hogan's kind of a brawler.
It's not really the same okay. deal to me.
We're talking more gritty, right?
Yeah, way more gritty.
The ECW guys are good. I mean, they're Raven, too.
I was going to bring Raven up. Raven is awesome.
Yeah.
In general. He's influential, you know, with his character and mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, but he could get in there with them.
Yeah.
The problem with Raven is I love, like, Raven, like, everything he does,
mm-hmm.
but I feel his character's not as much about brawling as it is about, like, mind games.
Psychology.
He would definitely be, like, best psychology Rushmore, you know, if that maybe that will be one in the yeah. future, but...
So what are you thinking, then? I mean, are we thinking Vader? Are we thinking one of the ECW guys? If you're really not comfortable putting Bruiser on or Bruiser Brody, I understand it.
Yeah.
I get it.
I feel the most comfortable with Vader, to be honest with you.
He, dude, when he, not his WWF stuff so much, but
his WCW
work, his whole MO is he would pound the crap out of you.
Yeah, and he's managed by another brawler.
That's
in
the other
Harley
thing,
Race.
Though. But if we're gonna consider Vader, shouldn't we consider Harley Race?
I guess those are the two, right?
Yeah. Race or Vader?
That's a hard pick, actually.
It is.
A lot of these guys, I feel like any of them, almost in the spirit of the sloppiness of brawling, it's almost like any of them could just be up there.
It's true. Now, Race did cut you in line.
Yes,
Vader. Vader never did.
Yes, so I vote for Vader.
I'll tell you what. I know that Harley Race is, you know, a very respected wrestler, as he should be.
I think he's more in the wrestling, though. He brought in brawling elements, but...
Yeah.
Vader is the real deal.
And I have less personal experience watching Harley Race matches than I do Vader matches.
Yeah, but we've seen enough Harley Race. We know the deal.
I'm okay with Vader if we're kind of NA-ing or DQ-ing Bruiser and Bruiser Brody and all that. If we're gonna throw them out simply because we don't have enough experience.
Maybe the fans can send us matches or something on YouTube.
Let us know what's good about them, because we know they're good.
Yeah.
We're not saying they're not good.
We don't know what's good. We know they're good.
If you guys are like, hey, how come you didn't pick them? It's because it's stuff we've seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Not stuff you've seen. That's why we want to hear from you. So
I'll go Vader, but however, let's run down. Is there anybody Attitude Era or recent you would throw in there?
Attitude Era, probably not. I mean, I wouldn't put The Rock above Vader as a brawler.
Yeah.
You know?
And anybody in WCW that you can think of?
Yeah, Nasty Knobs. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I think of him for something else, but...
Finley.
Finley. Now that's Finley. One. Finley.
His name is Finley, and he loves to fight.
My name is Finley, and I love to fight.
He was a really good brawler.
He was.
I mean, Regal could brawl, too.
Yeah, but Regal wrestled.
Yeah, Regal wrestled.
He wrestled. Finley was freaking stiff.
Yeah.
Just... nasty. He actually had some really good matches with Regal and WCW, just stiff affairs, you know, when he was the Belfast Bruiser. Yeah. Oh, fuck, Finley.
Yeah, there's Finley. There's a couple of Japanese guys. I know you're not going to care, but that Ishii fella over there, he's still wrestling.
I really think he's
one of the coolest brawlers I've ever seen.
Just
some props to Ishii. I know Joe will never sign
cool
off
guy.
On Ishii, but...
I'm doing North American here, Quinn. We don't do Japan around here. This isn't the Dave Meltzer show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm gonna totally go with Vader.
He's fun to watch in
WCW. Really, really good.
His WCW stuff is very fun.
Yeah,
Vader it is. You know,
Vader.
Bad News Allen, Bad News Brown. Before we go away here,
not
fuck him.
Not
right.
threatening enough for me. I no.
Really?
I like him. I like him, but he's a big goof. Always like also in his brawls.
True.
Like he's like whoa.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
You know. So
Vader.
Vader is the real deal to me.
The bully.
Yeah, not the blacktop bully. None of that crap.
Oh.
Yeah,
don't,
Vader.
Don't name all these Death Valley contenders. Yeah, okay. Win. All right, Vader is for Mount Rushmore. Well, Donnie, you'll be happy because I'll recap here. We've got Mick Foley, Terry Funk, Rowdy Roddy Piper, and Big Van Vader as our top four brawlers. So we want to know yours. We know your mileage may vary, and we're fine with that.
Yes, we are.
So let us know. Reach us on the Twitter at OVP Podcast, email us, or go to the Facebook group. And Quinn, you get to start with one of the worst.
So, my first pick, and you may be surprised with this one.
Okay.
But I absolutely hated it.
Okay.
Hardcore version of Norman Smiley.
WCW, like, 99, 2000?
Yes, the one that would wear, like, hockey goalie gear.
And football jerseys, yes, with pads and
that
stuff.
That whole thing.
Why did that bother you?
Okay, it bothered me because, first of all, I like Norman Smiley. First and foremost, believe it or not, when he was in the pink tights and was, like, a wrestler, and he wore, like, wrestling shoes.
Big
and, like,
wiggle and all that.
Big wiggle. I thought he was fun and great.
Okay.
When he turned into brawly Norman Smiley, where he would use, like, I don't know, like pizza boxes and like just nonsense to hit people with.
Yeah.
That was awful. That, to me, with bad brawlers, it mm-hmm. can go in one or two directions, actually.
Okay.
You have just too light, like, it doesn't make any sense what they're doing.
Too comical, maybe?
Too comical. And then there's like over the line where it's like, sure, I guess it's entertaining, but it's also like, what an asshole, like, you're just trying to hurt somebody. Like, okay. It's not wrestling anymore.
Okay, okay. Norman Smiley, plus you hate WCW's hardcore division to begin with.
I hate it a lot. But Norman, while not the worst to me in
right.
the hardcore division, I'll get to that later.
Okay.
But he indeed sticks out like a sore thumb of, like, no, this isn't what it is.
I'm going to tell you someone, Quinn, that I never liked.
Sure.
Hardcore Holly.
Yeah, I know you hate him.
Fuck him.
Yes.
He sucks. How was he employed for so long? And he was a crappy wrestler. Hollywood Bob Holly, all the way through the Sparky Plug, Bob Spark Plug Holly, all the way up through Hardcore Holly.
The only hardcore thing he ever did was using King's Candy Dish at WrestleMania 2000 and, like, botching that finish.
Yes. And he fight, like, in the river with Al Snow or something?
Yeah,
kinda
there was
funny.
That.
That was funny, all right? Maybe he can't qualify.
He might. Though, because
I don't know, yeah.
The thing is, he called himself Hardcore Holly.
He sucked.
But he wasn't like what people thought about in the hardcore. They thought about the first champion, Mick Foley,
right.
or Big Boss Man or
right,
something.
Exactly.
Even Road Dogg was
Road
better.
Dog.
Yeah, even Road Dogg was better at, like, brawling.
I know. Yeah,
you know?
I never, ever liked Bob Holly. You got another one, Quinn? Keep
okay.
going.
This is the one that I think will indeed make it.
Okay.
Maybe Smiley, too, but Brian Knobs.
You suck that.
Yeah.
Another one from the WCW hardcore
but
division.
It's not even just, okay, so WCW hardcore version sucks, right?
And I said, hell, let's throw out all the wrestling tonight.
But
yes.
Even like when he was the Nasty Boy with the armpits
yeah.
and all this bullshit, like, he's like the definition of just doing, it's like he's tapping you or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it's not good.
And we all can agree, I think, that Jerry Sags is no, like, technical saint or anything.
No,
but when you're the worst one of the Nasty Boys,
yes.
Brian Knobs,
yes.
that's bad.
And some people, I think, like to think of Brian Knobs as, like, he was the leader or something of the Nasty Boys, because I think he talks louder or something, and Sags is kind of in the background.
Yeah.
But at least Sags was halfway
he was
decent.
Okay.
But, like,
Knobs
Brian Knobs is awful.
And he had this whole run, folks, in WCW as the hardcore champion, like,
ugh.
Nasty Brian Knobs.
With the fake ripples in the belt thing.
Yeah,
yeah, the whole
love that.
You know how I hate that.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to Brian Knobs, actually.
I actually could say Brian Knobs definitively belongs
really?
In Death Valley. Yes, he's like, he exemplifies, he's like the template, he's like the creator wrestler template of a bad brawler.
Okay, I don't disagree. And you know what? For season 5, folks, we have brought back something by fan request for Death Valley. It is Brian Knobs.
Die, die, die.
There you have it.
There you have
it. It's back.
Yeah, you know what? That's fine with me. I never liked him. Yeah. I didn't like him in the Nasties. He was always the one that annoyed me.
Right.
And in WCW as a solo, like, hardcore, fuck
awful.
That. Get the
just
hell out of here.
Yeah.
All right, so that's good. We got him out of the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you one of the worst brawlers ever.
Sure.
The Brooklyn Brawler.
Why do you say that?
He sucks.
I mean...
Quinn!
But he's the Brooklyn Brawler.
He
we love him.
He sucks.
He sucks, but we love him.
I don't care. It doesn't make him good.
I mean, okay, I'll say this. He never really was much of a brawler.
No, he's
he
terrible.
Just existed.
He didn't live up to his name at all. He was really bad.
Are you just saying that because it's his name? Like, was he even really a brawler or just a jobber?
I know. The Brooklyn Jobber?
Yeah. Like, that was just his name because it sounds like it, you know?
I got a better one. I got a better one.
Okay.
Big Bully Busick.
Yes. He sucks. Now, Big Bully Busick, again, he wasn't around that long.
But he was so bad.
Was he really much of a brawler?
I don't know. He was a bully.
You know who was more of a brawler than him?
Who?
The Berserker.
Yeah, but he's okay.
Why are you okay with him, but
what?
Big Bully Busick?
Are you serious? Do I really have to
they're
answer
like
that
the
question?
Same thing.
Huss versus Big Bully, really?
No, but I mean, they're
are
like...
Are you kidding me?
No, because now we're in a domain of brawlers here where
get
it's
out
like...
Of this domain.
Where we're like, they're more like jobbers, so it's like, do they count?
Berserker's a million times better than Big Bully Busick.
You know who's a shitty brawler?
Mm.
And I think definitely he was a brawler because I don't really remember him doing technical holds.
Who?
Crush.
He's more of a power wrestler,
Joe.
Though. Quinn, we got to excuse him. He was a power wrestler.
Okay, fine.
Bad? Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But he wasn't quite a brawler, you know? Ahmed Johnson? Or was he power?
More power.
Yeah, so yeah. I would love to count him again.
Well, he did get 2x4y and all sorts of
yeah,
nonsense.
What was with that, by the way? He was like Duggan 2.0 for a while.
Yeah.
It was silly.
You know who's a bad brawler?
Who?
The Executioner. No, I'm just kidding. Like, remember that? That whole thing with Mick Foley
Terry
and
Gordy.
Fell in the pond or whatever?
The pond. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. The
fountain.
Yeah, he was a shitty brawler.
He was, actually. I don't know, Quinn. Do you got anyone else that's a real contender here?
Okay, a real contender.
Yeah.
I think, and this is the goes too far.
Okay.
New Jack.
And I put up with a lot of bull, but it don't matter because I have established myself as the original gangster.
Oh,
yeah.
Infamous for the mass transit incident, of course, of 96.
And like hanging people and like.
Yeah, you know what?
It's all too much. And I know people will say, well, he's entertaining, right? But I mean, like. I feel like he just feels dangerous. Like, he's not good at his job as a wrestler.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's like, no, I'm going to legitimately hurt you.
That's not wrestling.
But like, yeah, not in the same way where, like, you know, like, Brock Lesnar or something, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, he hurts people.
Right.
And again, I know we didn't mention him on the Mount Rushmore, but
he's
I don't really...
Power.
He's MMA.
Yeah,
that
power
new,
MMA
new
striker.
Age, yeah, yeah, style.
He's
that's
not
different.
Really a brawler.
Yeah.
New Jack, though, is a guy that I never liked for the reasons you said it didn't seem like he was really trying to play along,
right? And I know, you know, you want it to seem real,
of course,
but it's like it's a step too far with New Jack. It's
right.
it's like, no, you really want it to be real to the point of it being like disgusting.
Yeah, he had some really unnecessarily violent things go on in ECW and probably other XPW and stuff like that. Yeah, you know what? I never liked him. I'm okay with it. I know the gangsters as a team was pretty good.
Yeah.
But New Jack, yeah, they were sort of good.
New Jack.
Jack, though.
Eh. Yeah. Eh, get him out of here. I'm okay with that.
All right, New Jack it is.
Yeah.
Die, die, die.
So we've got two.
Yep.
All right, where are we going with this one? There's a world of possibilities here. I guess you're vetoing my Brooklyn Brawler suggestion, so.
This one might be controversial.
Go ahead. Go
but,
ahead.
One man gang.
He's okay.
You don't think?
He's okay.
I don't know. He's a little
competent.
He's a little too goofy for me.
But he was more of a fat guy power style.
I mean,
more
it
than
was
a
still,
brawler.
No, he was trying. It was trying to be a brawler.
I don't know, man. Hercules. No, he was another power.
He was power, but the gang was aiming for brawling.
Like, I'm okay with gang. Huh. I can't put gang on there.
No,
gang's okay.
What about the blacktop bully? Barry
yeah,
Darso?
I mean, we like Barry Darso.
And he tried it with the whole on the back of a vehicle
You
thing.
Love bringing that up, don't you?
Well, it's a great thing, but
it
it's
is.
Also, like, it's exactly not brawling.
No, it's not in
it's just
truck.
Stupid. It's just really stupid. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't have a problem putting them on, but I'm sure there's worse. No?
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm still really surprised that you're not going to go in on me with Brooklyn Brawler.
It's just, I don't know. It's not, I don't think he's much of a brawler, first of all.
That's why he should be on there.
He's just a jobber.
His name was the Brooklyn Brawler, and he didn't live up to it.
You know who sucked?
Who?
Worse?
Yeah.
Justin the Hawk Bradshaw. And we brought him up earlier.
Just Bradshaw in general.
Yeah, well, Justin the Hawk version, though. Like,
yeah, he was pretty bad.
In the Acolytes, they were kind of okay as brawlers.
Mm.
Like, they weren't that bad.
They weren't,
but Justin
right.
the Hawk is, like, dump.
He was dumb, but was that long enough, if you want to go off that, you know, criteria? Was mm-hmm. it really long enough to be that offensive?
I guess not. I you guess know, you're right.
That's
I,
the only thing.
Yeah.
I'm going back to Hardcore Holly, Quinn.
Well, Hardcore Holly, he is definitely deserving.
Right? I mean,
he never
on.
Lived up to his name.
No.
He was supposed to be like the king of the hardcore.
He sucked.
He sucked. Yeah, he was just not. He was just a jobber with another gimmick.
And he was around way too long with that gimmick.
Like I said, the only thing he ever did that was brawly was using the king's candy dish.
Yes,
like,
and the Mississippi River thing.
Yeah, but he thought he was like the best brawler ever.
He's an asshole.
No.
He sucks. He was never that good. If you're okay, I just want to put him in.
Let's do it.
All right, fine. Hardcore Holly for number three.
Die, die, die.
Thank you. All right, okay. Quinn, you got one for me?
I got one. Might upset some of the old school fans.
Oh, no.
Abdullah the Butcher. I mean, come on, dude. Like, the fork, and he's like, his pants are falling off.
You
like,
hate his pants. You hate his attire.
His
I know that.
His attire's awful. And, like, he's slow. Like, he's
That's
very
true.
Slow. And he when his punches don't look like they hit with any kind of authority.
I know.
It's, again, that light tap thing going on. Because some brawlers just do that, man.
Yeah, you know what? I never personally liked anything I really ever saw with Abby.
I know, and he's so, like, well-regarded, but, like, he sucks.
I think he's a nice guy in
you
real
know,
life.
I got one more in the same vein as Abby.
Sure.
Kamala.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That, you're right, right.
Yeah.
Abdullah is not good. Kamala? Fuck Kamala. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Enough with him.
He was one of the worst things ever.
He thought
in
he was so good, too.
In general.
Yeah.
And, like, he's supposed to not know any wrestling holds. So by definition, he's supposed to be a brawler.
He's a brawler. He's just surviving, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He sucked. It's surviving to watch one of his matches in any era of him.
I'm glad
terrible.
The Undertaker got rid of him.
Really? Yeah. Seriously? And then he became like a face and.
Yeah,
slick.
They tried just to teach him stuff.
All of that. You know what? I'm with you, Quinn. Yeah. Kamala.
Kamala.
We're good on him?
Yeah,
he Kamala. Sucks. Kamala, I'm sorry, but you're in.
Die, die, die.
All right. No recap on this one, Quinn. Let's just get
enough of these guys.
Hell done with these bad brawlers.
Yeah, they're awful.
But you know what's not awful, Quinn?
What?
We'll be back right after this because we are reviewing something. Back after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
No matter where you are, with bum rustlers, it's just like being in a wrestling ring. With Hulk Hogan and Rowdy Roddy Piper.
One, two, three, here!
Wherever you are, it's like real wrestling action. With Junkyard Dog and Volkov. Bum rustle anywhere with Hulk and the Iron Sheik.
Okay, kids, back to class.
Rustle anywhere with wrestling superstars, bum rustlers, new from LJN.
Hey, it's Sean Mooney. I may no longer be in the event center, but if I was, I'd be talking about our Vantage Point Retro Wrestling Podcast. All right, boys, let's get to it.
And welcome back, wrestling fans, to our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. When we are reviewing something...
Yes, we are.
We're getting back into season 5, getting back into the groove here, into our comfort zone, or uncomfortable zone.
Here we go.
Now, this was requested by, let's say, an old friend.
Yeah, an old guy.
An old guy.
An old man.
An old man requested. An old friend of the show requested this. And folks, what we're reviewing today is WWF Mania from June 26, 1993.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. Now, a couple of things, a little bit of a background here. First of all, what is Mania? We haven't reviewed it yet. We've referenced it.
Yes,
Mania,
we have.
Mania was launched in January of 1993, right before Monday Night Raw debuted, actually. And it was a new show. It was on the USA Network
mm-hmm.
at 10 a.m. on Saturday mornings, and it was hosted by Todd Pettengill. So it's essentially the Todd Pettengill debut was on Mania, you know?
Now, that was his first thing?
That was his first thing, okay. Was Mania. And they pulled Todd Pettengill in from his wonderful frickin' morning show on
WPLJ.
WPLJ 9-5 here in New York, New York metro area, with Scott Shannon. Horrible show, by the way. It really was.
You always crap on that. What if we ever have Todd on this show?
We won't.
He'll crap on you because you crap on his show.
And basically what this show was, it was essentially, for lack of a better way to put it, a condensed 1 hour version of like a prime time. It was basically a recap show.
Yeah, a little parts Wild and Crazy Kids or Nickelodeon.
Yeah,
and
really.
Other parts wrestling.
That's a really good way to put it.
Yeah.
One part Nickelodeon, the other part wrestling. And in June of 93, Quinn, specifically here on the 26th, we are just about 2 weeks removed from King of the Ring 93. And Quinn, you know what happened at King of the Ring and why that's kind of significant.
Well, Harvey Whippleman took a picture of Hulk Hogan and the camera unfortunately exploded in his face.
Unfortunately.
And then he lost to Yokozuna, as he calls him.
And that was the last new appearance of Hogan on WWF television for almost 9 years. Now, he would remain with the company a couple of more months. He did some European tours.
Allegedly. I've never seen any of this footage.
They're on YouTube, actually.
Oh, are
believe
they?
It or not, yeah. But this was the end of the Hogan era, but it's still before the official kickoff of the Lex Express tour.
And also Hogan, like you said, is technically still employed.
Yeah.
So he's like mentioned here as like a member of
yeah.
the roster.
He's mentioned, he's referenced, like he still exists, but his era is done. Hulkamania is over.
Yes. It's not dead, but it's over.
It's over. So with that, let's go. We actually start, you know, surprisingly, somewhat jarringly, with a cold open with a clip of Raw.
Which is weird because you think you're watching
yeah,
Raw.
Right.
It's not Mania.
Right.
But like, what?
That's
this
the
confused
first thing.
Me. I thought we got the wrong tape in the mail or whatever. Yeah.
Like, in the mail. And it's a clip of the intro of Razor Ramon versus 123 Kid in a $10,000 match. Now, mm-hmm. all we get is Razor's entrance. Then we get the actual Mania intro.
Which is like a like kid drawing on his like what are those binders from the back in the day?
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah,
yeah.
Those Trapper Keepers.
The Trapper Keepers.
Yes.
It's like there's rulers and pencils. It's like some kid was like bored during a doodle and he's like, I'm gonna draw Razor Ramon, like doing the Razor's Edge.
That's
and,
what's in the intro,
yeah,
you're
like
right.
That crap.
And there's like a horn, there's like an air horn, like woo.
Yeah, it's way too
time to wake up.
Yeah,
kids.
It's like over the top. And it's like, did this come on after Saved by the Bell? Like the going in the theme.
It did though, because wasn't Saved by the Bell on at 9 a.m?
I thought Saved by the Bell was on at like noon in my area.
I was in your area.
It was,
I don't know,
part
Quinn.
Of EITV or whatever.
What?
You know, on NBC, the educational whatever.
What's educational?
It was part of the educational block.
Anyway, we're hosted by Toad Petty Poop, and mm-hmm. he says it's his show.
Yeah, it's my show.
Well, good for him, because it's something, all right.
His hair made me very uncomfortable, but Quinn, you said he kind of looked good.
Yeah, I would say he had a little bit of slickness in his hair. He didn't look like his usual, like, poofed out Todd.
True.
Like his crappy Todd Pettengill hair.
He also had an odd, like, blue-colored shirt on.
Yeah, well, no, he had, like, nice dress pants on and, like, it wasn't like a blue collar, like that kind of blue collar.
No, it was blue collar.
Yeah, it was like just a nice blue shirt. Like,
yeah.
He looked too principally here. Like, I don't know. He wasn't in his usual 90s Todd, like, get up where he's
right.
like wearing like baggy pants and like a big jacket.
And he looked less overtly like early 90s
yeah.
than usual, I guess is a good way to put it. So anyway, we clip back to Raw here and it's the kids' entrance. And Todd happened to recap, you know, what this match is. Quinn, you had never seen this match. I happened to because it was on a tape called Most Unusual Matches Ever in 1994.
I wouldn't say it was unusual.
Well, it wasn't.
The only thing unusual about it was that stupid bag Razor the Ramon came to the ring in. It
yeah.
looked like, Joe, it looked like from like the view we got that it said $1,000 rather than $10,000
yes.
on it.
You're right.
And I literally asked you, like, wait, like what?
It's not worth
yeah,
it.
Yeah, who cares? Like, who cares, you know?
But basically what this was is back in May on the 17th, Razor Ramon was famously upset by the 1-2-3 Kid on Monday Night Raw. Mm-hmm. So Razor had tried to up the ante. He's like, first I give you $2,500, and then $5,000, and finally $10,000, and the Kid bit. That's where we're at. We're in Raw. It's from Poughkeepsie, New York. Yeah, great.
It's a mouthful.
Poughkeepsie. Yeah, yeah, I know. And we've got Vince, Brain, and Savage on commentary. So the Kid enters with no music.
This is great.
Quinn, you said he teleported to the ring?
So let me explain what happens here. They do a close-up on like the entrance, like the curtain that close, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, where is he? And then it just like, for whatever reason, like they just clips and he's like at ringside, almost like under the ring. He's like standing
up. I don't
know
what that was.
And we get to see on his butt the L Kid logo. Yeah. And like, so he like literally teleported by the way they filmed this.
Yes.
It's really weird.
He did. And Earl Durrell, by the way, is
your
the
favorite.
Ref. Yeah, ugh.
Yeah.
So Kid tries for the quick win right away with a top rope sunset flip and a quick kick. And you had a great comment to me, Quinn.
Yeah, I said that I don't like this whole Razor looking dopey thing. Like, he looks like trash. Like, listen, they're just coming off losing Hogan. They have to know they're gonna lose Hogan at this point, right?
Yeah, they're phasing him out anyway.
We got a superstar in Razor Ramon. Let's go make him look like shit. Like, we don't have a lot of people, but let's go make one of them look like shit.
And speaking of that, you had a problem with his green tights.
Yeah, he just looked jobbery here. I don't know why.
You don't like him in the green?
No, I just never did. I always like any time he wears gold or purple.
Purple's good, yeah. Or red. Red's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yellow, though, like not gold, but like the yellow, not a fan. Just going
to
say.
Huh, okay.
Bright yellow,
to each his own.
To each his own. So anyway, Razor then takes control with his usual, and then he kills him with that rock bottom chokeslam move that he does.
Oh, yeah. He destroys him.
He just buries him with it.
Definitely awesome.
And then, of course, Quinn, your favorite, the abdominal stretch.
What is he, Larry Zbysko? Like, really with this?
Yeah, I never got why that was his go-to heel move.
But the one where,
move.
You know, I talked about this in the other one, the one where he like lifts his
leg. He grabs the other leg.
Yeah, just lifts his leg.
What a waste of time. And like a dog taking a piss.
Yeah,
you know?
Basically. That's what it looks like.
Big power slam by Razor Ramon. And Quinn, you said to me, I'm sure there's some nonsense following here. You sniffed it out.
Yeah, no. I was like, there's no way that this ends right. Or like,
yeah.
Or like, I was hoping that I didn't like not know that the Kid won another match.
Yeah, right.
Because I had always saw he didn't beat him again.
Right. So Quinn was very intrigued here, but Quinn was sniffing it out. So we get that suplex that Razor does from the second rope, you know, that back suplex. And then he throws him on the outside, and the Kid gets set up for the Razor's Edge on the cement. But you had a problem with the way Razor set him up.
Okay, so he you know, lifts the mat thing, right, on the outside. And he's like, I'm going to do the Razor's Edge, right? But he's like aiming for the mat, rather
not the cement.
Not the cement that he just exposed. Like, could you expose the business anymore with that? Like, you weren't even close to hitting him. And you know, this gets reversed.
Yes.
And it's like a back body drop by the Kid or whatever.
Yes.
But, like, Razor lands clearly on the mat, and they're all like, oh, I need to get the cement, blah blah blah, like they're flipping out, like it's terrible.
Yeah, that was very, very, very poorly executed, I'll give you that. So then after the Kid backdrops out, he heads up top and Razor's still on the outside, and then he completely misses the somersault flip.
This looks kind of funny, actually.
Oh, a nasty bump on the cement.
Yeah, but he kept going.
He kept going. Yeah. But it looked nasty.
Yeah, he might have got concussed and just was going on instinct for the rest of this.
Yeah, I think there might be a story that Sean Waltman's told about that.
Yeah.
He just face plants onto the cement.
It's pretty awful.
I think Razor was supposed to catch him, or Kid just didn't reach far enough. But anyway, back inside, Razor misses a charge to the corner.
I also want to note here, Vince, like, give him credit for getting back in the ring, right? Razor literally picked him up and put him back in the ring.
That's true.
So no credit is given. Yeah, get out of here with the credit.
Kid doesn't know where he is.
Yeah.
So after Razor misses a charge, Kid figures, fuck it, I'll go for the moonsault again, you know, the way he won initially, but Razor kicks out.
Yes, he does.
Then this is some bullshit about to unfold.
I literally said, this is bullshit. Like,
you
I was
did.
Like, this is so messed up.
The Kid runs off with the money all the way backstage and into a waiting car that whisks him away into the night.
He's going out of the arena! The Kid just went out of the arena!
Okay, some problems here. First of all, I said, is the Kid a heel?
Right!
Like, what the hell? First of all, there's a car waiting, right? Which means he planned this out in advance.
Right!
What the hell?
This isn't fair!
This is bullshit. Well, how is Razor the heel here, right? And second of all, why are they like in the hood? Like they go outside and it's like broken down like buildings in the background. I'm like, is this in an arena or
it's
is
like
this
twisted
in
metal?
Yeah, it looked awful. I don't know what that was about, but it also made it have an air of like there's a crime being committed
right
here. Which
so much so,
yeah, so much so that Bobby says, yeah, call the police.
The kid's got 10 grand.
I love it.
Call the police.
And then we cut to Todd.
Yes, this pissed me off so much.
So Bobby says, call the police, right? Rightfully so. Kid stole the money. And Todd's like, haha, yeah, call the police. What are the cops going to do about that? And then he does like a horrible Razor Ramon impression that you're going to hear in a second.
What's he going to say to the police? Can you imagine?
Hey, officer, it's the bad guy.
This is horse. Fuck that. I can't stand for this.
Right,
like,
because
it's bullshit.
It was a crime.
Yeah, he literally committed a crime.
He stole money wasn't his.
These guys had an arrangement. They said, if you win the match, I will give you the money. Instead, he didn't win the match,
right,
and he stole the money, and he just ran away into a waiting vehicle.
And Todd Pettengill is making fun of Bobby for saying call the cops.
What a setup.
That is a hoax. That is a fix, and it sucks. But anyway, Todd hypes the Stars and Stripes Challenge. You know what that is? That is where superstars and athletes from all over the country are going to stand up and defend America's honor by body slamming a guy.
Why was our honor needed to be defended from a big fat ass? Like, what was he doing? Like, because he was the champion?
That's all it is.
It's a world title, so people around the world can. It's not the U.S. title.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
It's a world title.
What's wrong? Like, God forbid an American doesn't have a world title. Were they upset when Bret Hart had it? Did we have to defend America's honor?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that whole thing was fucked from the beginning. But then Todd one-ups himself by saying that he's Vince McMahon's half-brother.
I'm also going to make a phone call to Vince McMahon. I just found out I'm his half-brother.
What the fuck is this guy talking about?
I don't know.
What kind of hacky joke is that?
You know what bothered me about this, actually? And I didn't say it to you.
What?
But why is that good if Vince isn't technically the owner in kayfabe?
That's
like,
true. Why was he bringing up Vince? Yeah,
it sounds like he was breaking kayfabe is what it sounds like to me.
Hey, well, we talked about kayfabe last week, Quinn.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be breaking it.
Yeah.
Anyway, then Todd again one-ups himself because he does an Ice T impression. He's like, this is Ice Todd, and I'm going to rap later.
Word to your mother, Ice Todd.
I think Todd's really trying to compensate for the fact that he didn't have his 90s gear on today, and like he just wants to like prove a point. Hey, I'm still Mr. 90s.
Yeah.
You know?
So we cut to an edited out commercial, and we come back and we show Lex Luger's actual arm X-ray for 92.
Todd is looking at it in the light of like a TV or something.
Yeah, I don't
like
know what that is. But then we get our Mania exclusive match, Quinn. It's the Rocket Owen Hart versus the Narcissist Lex Luger.
So that's a compelling contest,
yes,
right?
A little bit.
Both of them aren't like ass. It's not like your typical WWF match where it's just a jobber losing.
But you did say Luger looked like ass.
He did look like his hair was a mess.
Yeah.
What's really odd about this to me, Joe, is that literally in like a week or something, like Luger's going to be a face, but he goes through this whole like entrance and everything.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, you can go through it.
I'll go through it. But we are hosted for this Mania exclusive by JR and Gorilla with Mike McGurk as the ring announcer.
And I can't believe that Mike McGurk's still here. And she's starting to get 90s hair. I said this to you. It's like not as like blown out as it usually and ridiculous.
It's
as
getting more normal now.
Yeah, it's not the Mike McGurk of the early 90s, late 80s with the like side ponytail and like all sorts of nonsense.
Right. She's still got the very weird like ringleader outfit on.
Yeah.
But she's getting better. Now,
definitely.
Referee Mike Chioda bugs Luger over and over again while he's posing about putting on this arm pad.
Yes.
Because of the elbow nuggets.
The elbow nuggets. Right. And I bring up to you, how is this fair? And I'll explain myself here.
Okay.
This man has an injury. It's not like it's some weapon or something.
True.
Like he intentionally got like surgery to become a cyborg.
Right.
And so he's going to like use it against people. It's like, no, he had like a motorcycle accident or whatever. Like if he's hitting people with this, I understand that they're trying to write it off that it's a weapon.
Sure.
But like, isn't he risking getting like re-injured technically?
Hey,
like
you know what?
Every time
Luger's putting his body on the line every time.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Was a funny segment though, because Luger turns to Kyoto and remember he's like, what is so important?
Yes, he does out loud say that. Mike picks that up.
Yeah, it's very funny.
What could be so important?
I'm
you interrupt my posing.
So then, of course, Mike McGurk gets on the mic and says that if Luger doesn't wear the pad, he loses or something. Yeah. I don't really get how that all works.
And
but
I briefly mentioned this, but I said this at the time. I said, I really must ask, why the fuck should we be rooting for Luger to body slam Yokozuna in a week?
That's like, a great point.
Like, they're showing this.
Because
like,
he showed up with a USA shirt on.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
He wasn't like a good guy or anything.
Yeah.
Owen enters with his super shitty like blue coat.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is this, Blue Blazer? Yeah. Like, I was confused because he literally looks like the Blue Blazer just without the mask.
Right, he's got like the blue tights on. It's that era of Owen Hart. It's past the high energy baggy pants.
He's like in between.
But it's before he started imitating Brett's attire. Mm-hmm. He's definitely just like all powder blue.
His jacket is a Brett jacket, but blue.
That's true, and his tights are like the Brett tights, but blue.
Instead of the black heart, he's the blue heart. So
now, as always, I must mention, post 1992 Gorilla has that really high voice. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, there it is, Jess.
Yep. And Quinn, you mentioned to me, Owen always had good music.
Yeah, so I start like thinking about how Owen always had good music. Like, so his first music was that Blue Blazer music. That
good
was
theme.
Awesome. It's like, do, 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 like that whole thing. That was great. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, he has the music he has here that he had up until Brett left. And that music's awesome.
Yep.
And then even like his other music, that Owen never had bad music.
No, he always had good music. You're right.
Even when he passed away, he had the Blue Blazer music again. So
that's true. So it came full circle there.
Yeah.
You know what, Quinn? We can see the ceiling of this place, which is never a good sign for the WWF.
Yeah, it's probably some armory or a high school gym or something.
I never like it when you can see like ceiling fixtures.
Yeah, it's never a good sign.
On the WWF, never good. So Gorilla gets all mad about how no one tries to attack Luger's arm.
Thank you.
Very good
he
point.
He finally, like, I couldn't believe this was said after I just, like, ranted about it. Yeah. Like, because it is true. Like, Luger's the injured one.
Right.
Not the other way around.
Try to attack his arm.
Yeah.
And Owen does. He gets an arm wringer. And then Gorilla, as always, Quinn, I talked to you when we were watching this.
Yeah.
He says there's 13 Hart kids. There is only 12. There has only ever been 12.
Yes.
And every time Gorilla mentions the Hart family, he says there's 13 of them. I don't get it.
Maybe it's Natty. I don't know.
I'm in the Hart family, remember?
Maybe that's what TJ really is. They just don't tell anyone.
There it is.
He's Stu's bastard child or something.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Quinn, you said to me, this seems like a real match.
Yeah, it does. Because, again, real superstars and like they're doing things and they're back and forth and it's a thing. It's not your typical Mania match.
No, it's decent. And there's more arm work. And then Luger takes over with, you know, those yelling punches he does where he's like, oh! Yeah. That weird Luger yell. Yeah. Owen comes back, hits this awful one-handed bulldog.
Yeah, it was pretty dumpy.
Like a head shove, basically.
Yeah,
I hate those head shoves.
Doesn't say it's like shades of something, but I don't remember.
Shades of Brett, I think, wasn't it?
Did he?
I don't remember.
I thought he said shades of the Hart family. Like,
worse.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, good. Shades of Bruce.
No. I know what it was.
What?
It was shades of Calgary Stampede.
That's right.
Yes.
What?
What the hell? Did everyone use that in Calgary Stampede?
I don't know. Big top rope cross body block by Owen gets two because it's not 1983 here.
Yeah, what the hell?
And then Luger takes off the pad, hits the forearm, three count, and Gorilla, give me a break!
Of course, because Gorilla's there, he has to say it.
Very upset.
Yeah.
So then we go back to Todd, who again explains the Stars and Stripes challenge. And Quinn, you had a great point. You're like, what is 1-2-3 kid gonna steal this too?
And jump off the boat like that, because you can't use a car, right?
Yeah.
Or like you see him like jump like to that like thing that goes on a boat, like a pad or whatever it is.
I know.
Could you imagine?
So then we actually do get some commercials here. We get a trailer for Son-in-Law.
It's the only good Pauly Shore movie. Maybe I think House Party is he's known for, too.
I think Encino Man is good.
Son-in-Law is a good, fun movie,
I never
though.
Saw it.
It's great. We should review that.
I don't think we should.
Is there any wrestlers in that?
You get a very weird Twix commercial, Quinn.
Yeah, okay, so this is weird. Like, at the very beginning of the commercial, it's like a gigantic Twix bar, and, like, there's a scientist measuring it or something.
Yes.
And they just go through showing Twix or whatever, like, the full-size kind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by the end, they show a big picture of the small, like the one that you get at like Trick or Treat, so it's like confusing. It keeps getting smaller,
and it made you want one.
Yeah, it did. I said we should go in between doing the podcast and go get a Twix bar.
And we get a commercial for HBO, a new movie every night.
Well, that's true, and it's still true.
And then this is very bizarre.
This
Quinn.
Is awesome.
This is the weirdest commercial, and I love it.
It's important you mention this.
Yes.
Because we get pre-Y
yes.
a certain person.
Yes. Nancy Kerrigan, the Olympic figure skater, is here to tell us about mortgages.
Yes. So why I say pre-Y is because no one knew who the fuck Nancy Kerrigan right. was before that.
Yes.
And this kind of exemplifies that because she's shilling mortgages.
For like some local commercial,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's like she's definitely getting ready for the Olympics because they yeah. show her in her figure skating gear mm-hmm. or whatever. And yep. she's figure skating, but then there's like guys in suits figure skating.
So weird.
It's very bizarre.
Then we go back to Todd and he's going to showcase the art of the body slam. Obviously, we got the body slam challenge.
Okay, this was
coming
one
up.
Of the weirdest things I've seen.
Really is.
Yeah.
So first of all, we show WrestleMania 1 where I guess the body slam is invented, Quinn.
But there's an important point here. Is that they decide they have to dub over the original commentary, even though these are just like clips.
Right. Now, I understand in theory why. I would assume it's because WrestleMania 1 was announced by Gorilla and Jesse Ventura. And in 1991 or 2, I believe, Jesse Ventura won some weird-ass lawsuit where he was right against Vince.
Yeah, I think he was right.
For royalties about commentary. So until like... Remember until, like, the late 2000s?
Yeah, until recently.
They were editing him out of everything?
Yeah, because they didn't want to pay him.
They didn't want to pay him. So we've got Gorilla Monsoon and JR
yes.
doing the commentary. I'm not even kidding.
But what's crazy is that it literally was overdubbed for, like, a 30-second clip.
That's why it's weird.
And they're acting like they're there and shit.
Yeah.
Do you notice
oh, here
that?
We are! WrestleMania,
yeah.
Yeah. JR!
They're acting like they're there, but then they do slip later, and I will mention this, but
yeah.
go ahead.
So, Quinn, you said to me, WWF Mania meets WrestleMania.
Well, it makes sense. They should have WrestleMania on the show called Mania.
It's true.
Two of the biggest men ever to compete in the World Wrestling Federation.
We get the infamous body slam or famous body slam. And then Todd says, hey, that was a successful body slam.
Yeah.
Then he talks about like John Studd's center of gravity.
Yeah. He starts like acting out like, oh, this is how you do a body slam.
Awful.
He's like explaining it.
Who's watching this that doesn't know what a body slam is?
But they're explaining how you do a body
Who
slam.
Who cares?
Job. Yeah, I know. Well, the Stars and Stripes challenge is going to matter. So
then we cut to Hogan Andre from WrestleMania 3. And we've got Gorilla and JR again.
Yeah. And I said, you remember when Gorilla and JR and announced WrestleMania 3.
Bulk of Andre the Giant, certainly noticeable here as Gorilla Monsoon documented Andre around the 500-pound mark.
Oh, it's a good move there by Steamboat.
Yeah.
So why am I watching Hogan and Andre on Mania?
Yeah.
We get that failed body slam from the beginning of the match,
yes.
Quinn.
Yes.
They actually show that
yes.
to like prove a point later.
Right. Now, if you recall, they opened with this WrestleMania 3 clip. They're like, we're here. It's the biggest crowd ever, right? And then like, so it clips to like another part of the match. But this is my favorite part.
Yeah.
And JR actively goes over and says, okay, we're here later in the match. He says that. But
he
he's supposed to be there.
I know.
Like, how did they not know? Like, how did they screw that up? Because you know how ridiculous they are about like being sticklers for continuity
yes.
with this stuff, but they clearly like expose
oh, we're
themselves.
Later here in the match
yeah,
now.
Why would you say that if you were commentating a match?
I don't know. But see, this is the weird thing about this clip. They don't only show the fell body slam. For some freaking reason, we show the part on the outside where Hogan rips up the mat on
yeah.
the outside and goes for a pile driver that he was never going to get.
It's the
and
worst thing ever.
The worst back body drop I've ever seen.
He like slowly rolls off Andre's back.
Oh my
like
God.
When Andre back body drops him.
And I love that match and everything. But that's a horrible spot. Why are they showing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not known for its wrestling or brawling
no,
or anything.
Yeah, exactly. Hulk up by Hogan as I again question, what the hell am I... Why am I watching this on
You're
Mania?
You're watching WrestleMania on Mania.
The body slam happened and then Andre died.
Yeah, like Hogan says.
Andre hurt very badly that night. You know, the clock was ticking down. He died shortly after that, so...
Then we cut to Hogan... not body slamming Yoko
so,
at King of the Ring.
This is where I see they're trying to make a point here. It's somebody else is going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to set this is like propaganda, right?
Yeah, because they
want to
show
that Hulk, who body slammed Andre, couldn't do it to Yokozuna. He's like a different animal.
Yep.
Here.
And Todd goes on to explain more about the center of gravity. I guess he's basically calling Yoko fat.
Yes.
That's all this is. Yes. This whole challenge is, hey, who was strong enough to pick up a really fat guy?
Yeah, basically.
That's going to defend America's honor, Quinn.
Well, it needs defending, apparently.
There's a fat guy that's a Samoan pretending to be a Japanese guy from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And if you pick him up, America wins.
So if an American had body slammed Bret Hart when he was the champion, was that like fulfilling America's honor?
I guess
preserving
Papa Shango did that then.
Yeah, I guess so.
All those guys. So anyway, we get Bill Frelick. Yeah,
what?
From like, WrestleMania 2. He's in this, Quinn.
Or Falco, as I call him, ever since I've ever seen WrestleMania 2.
And then we get a somber shot of the Intrepid to cut away to commercial.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, it was
very somber.
Very somber. It's like the sun is setting. Yeah.
Lifesavers gummies are coming out, Quinn. Remember them?
They were good. I did like them, and I remember that commercial just like you did.
Yep. And then we get a very 90s Oxyresidont.
Okay, so I ask you this because I remember this from the 90s a lot.
Sure.
Was this a big problem, like more so than usual, that like we needed Stridex and like pimple cream like all the time?
Yeah,
like
Neutrogena.
Yeah, it was like really big like advertising this back then. Yeah, was there more competition in the pimple game?
That might be what it is. It might, the pimples might not have been so simple.
Yeah. I guess so. Well, then we go to an A&W cream soda commercial with like polar bears and shit and some weird guy.
You said to me, Quinn, it looks like a weird 90s commercial.
Yep, it is what it is. Like,
it's like, hey, A&W cream soda, polar bears.
And then we
why?
Get, and then we get Cheerios because, like, you know, you always forget about them. So we got to advertise. What? They still do that, Joe. They still do it. Nobody ever forgets Cheerios exist.
That's
why
true.
Why do they even need an advertising budget?
Between that and like maybe cornflakes or Raisin Bran.
Are they going out of business?
Right. They're the default cereals that people think of. You don't need to ever advertise for Cheerios again. And I would always remember that they exist.
Yes, but they would advertise for other cereals like Frosted Flakes or something with sugar on it, basically.
Fruit Loops.
I don't have a problem with that because those have like competition, but Cheerios is fucking Cheerios.
It's
like,
Cheerios!
Yeah.
You don't... Oh, I forgot about these!
Yeah, except they're like the default cereal.
Right!
They're like the cheap thing you get.
Exactly. Back to Todd, who reminds us to all watch All American tomorrow because you've got Bart Gunn versus Ted DiBiase.
Oh, what a match.
I can't wait for that one. Then we cut right back to a Lex Luger Icapro commercial and G.I. Joe action figure commercial and a later era 93 WWF Hasbro action figures commercial. Very weird.
Ooh, yeah.
New WWF figure. Give you the power of Hulkamania, the knockoff Prince of Virgil, the audacity of IRS, and the madness of the Macho Man. Collect new WWF figures now. Sold separately. Dig it.
Then we come back to Mania, but we're going back to Challenge from last week. It is Tony Roy versus Papa Shango and Gorilla during Papa Shango's big smoky entrance.
The smoke with the in the skull.
Yeah.
Smoke and skull, quite
smoke
literally.
And skull entrance. Gorilla's like, look at the mess he's making.
That's his first remark right when they come in. He's making a mess. Like, Gorilla's so upset about this.
Look at that mess he's making here.
And then we unfortunately cut back to Todd blowing a bucket of his own smoke around.
Yeah, out of like a paint bucket.
On who we think might be Stephanie McMahon.
Okay, and we say this because there's something else later, but it may be her. It might not be.
You don't see her face, but it looks like it could have been her.
It could have been a young her. We're not sure.
We don't know.
But we do know another person.
We do.
Yes.
We go back to JR and Gorilla, and JR says Todd's being very rambunctious today.
Yeah.
He's right.
Wait a sec. Pause. Because I didn't realize this until you just said that. Do you mean to tell me JR was remarking in the arena on Todd's actions not in the arena?
Yes.
That's kind of awesome.
They do that sometimes. Yeah. JR says Papa Shango's way has a way to make his opponents ill. Yeah, like watching him wrestle.
Yeah. He wasn't good until he was the Godfather. He was the IC champion, so I don't think he was a slouch or anything.
Gorilla talks about his credentials.
Yeah. What credentials? He interfered in a match where nobody knew who the hell he was at WrestleMania. And he futzed around with like the Ultimate Warrior, like all that bullshit.
That's
his credentials. That's garbage.
And after this very short, very uninspired squash, an inverted shoulder breaker gets the win.
Yeah, my favorite move. It basically looks like that Jesse the Body crap.
Ugh, that backbreaker shit. back to Todd, but JR and Bobby are in the studio and they're arguing about how the King should or shouldn't interview himself on
Superstars.
Why
do they care?
Who cares?
Yeah, who gives a shit?
Todd then says their fax machine at Mania has been going crazy because people from all over are signing up for this crappy body slam thing.
I gotta say, what is this, the precursor to Livewire?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Right? The faxes are going crazy. Then we go to Raw with the new tag champs, finally, the Steiners, after Money Inc.'s, like, monopoly, no pun intended, yeah. On the belts forever.
Yes.
We and finally have the Steiners.
I'm not too keen on the Steiner brothers, you know that.
No, but are you keen on their opponents? It's Barry Hardy and Reno Riggins!
Not like Jeff Hardy, Barry Hardy, some other Hardy. Now, Reno Riggins making another appearance in another company.
Yeah, I know.
As usual.
Quinn, you have a big problem with the Steiners' music.
It's too much like school, and I get that they're school, but like it's more like high school, not college, and I know they have the Michigan thing, but yeah, I just don't think it makes them seem threatening or anything. Like
they went to school.
Yeah. What their gimmick is, they went to school. I did too. Good for them. But can I get in the ring?
Bobby calls Rick Steiner a complete moron, and then he says that them beating Money Inc. is like the stock market crash of 29.
That's a little dire, but yes, it's good enough.
Little Papa Dump here starts off against Reno, and it's a squash. I don't know. What do you want us to say? It's a fucking squash match.
This is the time period where I don't have to ask, where's the Macho Man, by the way? Because he's talking too much in this match.
You have to ask, like, when's he going to wrestle?
Right, yeah. I needed to remark on that because it's one of the most frustrating things.
Yep.
Like, the Macho Man's commentating in this, and it's like, all I'm like is, why the hell, he can wrestle? What's the problem?
We just watched a Papa Shango match, yet they have Macho Man at ringside all the time. what the fuck?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So the announcers actually mention how it was the end of Hulkamania.
Sure it was, unless you count WCW. And also, it was about damn time.
That's true.
At the same time, because when it went to WCW, it wasn't very good.
Yeah, because we always say, Quinn, that Hogan from 93, that was the WCW Hogan already.
Right, yes, definitely.
Like that prick. He's just an asshole.
Thumbs up Hogan. That's terrible. I think of, yeah.
Don't call the city sanitation department, brother. Don't go out and rent one of those double-wide U-Hauls. Just let Hulk Hogan straddle his FXR, the bad to the bone bike, brother.
A ridiculously fucked up Frankensteiner gets away. I hesitate to call it a Frankensteiner. It was like Riggins jumped at Steiner's legs.
This was so bad. Joe was taking the notes, and I saw it. I was like, that was fucking awful. Yeah. And like, I'm like, you need to rewind it because you missed it. Like, it was that bad.
I have never seen it that fucked up. It was like Riggins like was diving into a pool.
Yeah. Reno's like literally took like a dive. Like he was like the Phelps guy or whoever, one of those swimmer guys. He was diving and he went head first into the mat, and Steiner tried to like look like he was like touching him or something. Like he jumps up too and just lands on his back.
It was awful.
It was one of the worst things I've ever seen.
It was really bad. So we go back to Todd in the studio, who says next week on Raw, Shawn Michaels defends the IC title
against Death Valley himself for Brawler Kamala.
Oh my god, imagine that match.
Why would anyone want to watch it? I love Shawn Michaels, but I don't want to see him fight Kamala.
No. And to be honest, 1993 Shawn Michaels was not interesting enough to make that good.
He couldn't carry people.
95, 96, yeah. Fine. 93. Anyway, so we get now an interview with Bill Frelick telling us how he's going to slam Yoko. Quinn, you had a big problem because he was reading.
He was the most reedy of them all. They all were reading. Trust me.
They were.
But I could see Bill Frelick's eyes like moving with the text.
Yes.
Like literally. And he looks like he's high because of it because he's like looking down. Like
I'm going to body slam Yokozuna because I want to defend him. Yeah. Awful. Yeah.
Now I look forward to slamming 550-pound Yokozuna flat in his back on the Intrepid on July 4th, and it'll be a feather in my cap.
Horrible. Then Joe Morris, I don't care who that is.
Now, he had, like, sunglasses on, so you couldn't see him reading. That was a smart... They should have done that to Bale...
I know.
Bale Frolic, whatever.
Joe Morris, I guess, was on the Giants, but he calls him Yokozuma.
Yokozuma, you're going down on July 4th.
Of course. Well, Hulk does, so he's a good example.
And then some football player, I don't know, George Martin and his suspenders say they're going to do it too. But then...
Yes, this is good.
The Macho Man He says he's going to do it.
Yeah, and he's got sunglasses on, too, and I ask, can he actually see through those? Because I never really thought about it till now.
I don't know.
Yeah, but seeing all these guys read the cue cards, yeah, it made me think about it. But then he takes them off, and he's serious.
Yeah, he's like, I took the glasses off.
And he's definitely not reading.
He makes this matter.
Yeah.
So then we get a commercial for We Can't Tell because it's so fucked up in 90s. Remember, it's like a dancing figure.
Twisty people. They look like napkins.
We have no idea what it is. It turns out it's for Bubblicious Mondo. Yeah,
the Mondo.
Yeah, Mondo. And then we get a Combos commercial.
This is good.
With who we think might be Lorenzo Music, who was the voice of Garfield on Garfield and Friends. That was Quinn caught that.
Cheddar pretzel combos. See why combos taste better?
Combos, you know, whatever, you know. But and they're also putting this like disgusting like nacho cheese into it that it looks like something I would never want to eat.
Well, Quinn, for the record, folks,
I hate combos, I'll tell you that
does
much.
Not like melted yellow cheese for some reason.
I hate it.
Mozzarella on pizza, fine.
Yeah.
Melted yellow cheese.
It just
big problem.
It just looks terrible. So, it looks bad.
Wait,
it,
Quinn.
It has a weird taste to it.
Cheesesteaks? No?
That's not yellow.
What are you talking about? There's yellow cheese on cheesesteaks?
No, there isn't.
You don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's always white cheese on cheesesteaks.
It's not supposed to be. It's cheese whiz. That's a real cheesesteak.
Well, that's disgusting, and I don't eat those kind of cheesesteaks.
Quinn, do you want to see, do you want to buy Ozzy live? Because you can. VHS, Laserdisc, CD, cassette.
I was just surprised it wasn't Ozfest, because that was the prevailing like 90s ad for Ozzy.
I know. And then we get some steroids commercial or something. Remember that from GNC?
Ammonium AD 1000. I don't know.
And then another freaking A&W cream soda commercial.
So A&W really spending the dollars this week.
Yeah, they really want people to know they have cream soda.
It's like a different one, too.
I know.
It was like there was two. How was there two?
I don't know, but we cut back to Mania. Ice Todd is rapping with...
Okay, here we go.
George or Adam, one of them. You know, I can't remember.
Remember those guys who were waiting for the Royal Rumble for like a half a year or whatever?
It's the one that's not the redhead, the dark-haired, longer-haired guy. And Shane McMahon.
Yes, very much Shane McMahon. And this isn't the first cameo. I know Shane was like a ref who broke up something at WrestleMania 8.
He was also a ref in 89 and 90 sometimes.
But it's just funny to see him as just screwing around with Todd.
Yeah.
And this is what leads me to believe that Stephanie was there.
Mm-hmm.
Was that maybe they were both in the office that day with their dad or something.
Oh, why don't you be on the show?
Yeah, exactly.
Then we have to unfortunately cut to the real Men on a Mission rapping horribly with a green screen behind
them. Of the hood, I guess.
The hood.
And this gets referred to, by the way, later.
Which is very funny. Back to Todd, he says David Letterman wants him on his new show.
I don't think that ever happened or would ever happen.
Or should have ever happened, just no. We cut now to Superstars.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Bomb with Johnny Polo, very early in the Adam Bomb career, before he went to Whippleman.
Yes.
With Jerry Seavey and his white, like, Hanes t-shirt.
It's like the worst attire ever. So this guy, he has, like, neon green tights, white boots, and a Hanes shirt, like, tucked into the neon.
Awful.
But it's clearly, like, tucking his fat in, because you can see his, like, belly protruding out from the side. And during this, because we have Vince King and Savage on commentary, they come back and King has to remark on like the hood or whatever in the back. It's like, look at their neighborhood, it's awful, like, and it's like it was a green screen. So
yeah,
like,
it was
what
very
the
funny.
Hell,
oh, their neighborhood stinks.
Yeah,
so King says Adam Bomb is going straight to the top. Quinn,
well, that's not true. He went straight nowhere. He went straight to WCW.
Polo cackles on the outside. He has like a horn or something. And CV gets some offense for a second, which of course offends Quinn.
Well, that just shouldn't be. But it was short enough
short.
It was not offensive.
So King asks a question that I've always wondered, Quinn.
Yes.
He asks Vince, what is Man on a Mission's mission? And Vince says it's to clean up the carnage.
Yeah, and that's actually also where King refers to the neighborhood again.
Yeah.
He says they should be cleaning up their neighborhood. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
And then he calls Macho Man the Macho Booger, which is so funny.
Because they ask King about like his house and where it would be.
Yes.
And then like Vince like cuts him off and it's like, yeah, the palace or whatever. And then he remarks about how he's not going to tell Macho Booger and Vince about
Booger.
It. Yeah.
So Bomb gets the win with the Atom Smasher, which is a power bomb.
Jerry Sewer over here just got bombed.
Jerry Sewer. Then we get a Fleer Ultra baseball card commercial. It's high quality, you know, baseball cards. You can get George Brett.
Yeah, some real players here.
Gary Sheffield. Barry Bonds rookie card.
Yeah, good players.
Then As if regular Cheerios earlier wasn't enough, Quinn, we get multi-grain Cheerios.
Now, this needed to be advertised, because
yes.
I will say they were new back then. And
right.
It talks about how like the kids found them, and they like them better than me.
Some weird guy. Then we get a Rust-Oleum paint commercial.
Thrilling.
Yeah, really. And then Black Ice is on USA Today at 3, Quinn.
Yeah that looks like a softcore porn.
I'm watching that.
Yeah.
And then a Star Wars promo, I guess, because USA is going to run Star Wars. Then some other weird show called Eden.
Yeah, again, more softcore. Core porn. Yeah. Everything on USA back then, like silk stockings,
yes.
like all this crap, it's all just on like late at night, and it's supposed to like, hey kids, don't tell your parents.
Yeah,
don't, this is coming on next.
Femme Nikita, you know,
you
all
just,
that crap.
If you just stay on for a couple more minutes, you're going to get to see something you can't see.
Yeah, almost a boob.
It's like fake Skinamax.
Yeah, really. We get a body slam challenge promo. The point, Quinn?
He's fat. There you go.
The pride of America's at stake, though, Quinn. Come on.
Yep. As we said, it isn't at
all.
No,
it's really not. But you know what is good? We cut to the classic Randy Savage Slim Jim commercial, you know, where he's like, chips, no!
Yeah, beef and spice. Yeah. And then, I was so disappointed, like I always say, that didn't really do that.
I know. And then Royal Rumble, Quinn, is on Super Nintendo.
It's a good game.
Good game.
I would say it's better than Raw, but...
I wouldn't. I like Raw better, but...
I disagree.
Two each, his own. Back to Todd and JR and Bobby are back in the studio arguing again.
Bobby's got like chocolate all on his face.
It's really funny.
It's pretty good.
Just inexplicably, he just has like a big ring of chocolate around his mouth.
And this is great. Todd gives them like, or no, Todd receives a Fuck Jerry plate from Bobby the Brain Heenan. And what we mean by that is, you know that like Instagram account, Fuck Jerry?
You know, the cup,
the cup logo.
Bobby gives him a Fuck Jerry plate.
Yes, I didn't even know there was a Fuck Jerry plate.
Me neither.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Got like soy sauce on it
and
stuff.
Yeah, he gives
him
all these
crap.
Plastic forks and knives. Yeah.
And that's it. Roll credits.
Yeah.
That was it. Now, Quinn, I know, as most of our listeners probably do as well, you are not a fan of 1993 WWF.
Now, I will say this. I think the shenanigans in the studio and some of the commentary made up for a lot of the real junk in this, because it wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
And too much Stars and Stripes on the boat
stuff. I know.
It's like, it's one thing to hype it up. It's another thing to have like 14 ads for it. Like, it was like, there was less wrestling than there was ads. There was a whole body slam segment.
Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous.
Very ham-fisted. Obviously, they were spotlighting Luger because they knew...
Well, apparently they didn't
him.
Because they showed him as a heel in the middle of the show.
Well, he hadn't turned face
There's
yet.
There's conflicting messages here.
I know.
They can't tell us Luger is like going to turn face.
Right.
But they're going to show him as... Why did they just opt not to show him?
I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to remind you he existed, like Cheerios.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Overall, though, Quinn, I would agree with you that it wasn't good.
Mm.
It wasn't bad, though, right?
No,
I'll
say this. It was entertaining. But so, it wasn't bad.
So something from 93 you're actually okay with.
It wasn't as bad as that Superstars from 94.
Nothing syndicated WWF-wise really has been. I mean, Action Zone 95 was really bad, too.
Yeah, that was pretty poor.
This was better than both of them, but then again, they hadn't quite settled into their crap.
They hadn't sailed into the shit. Somebody had said Bon Voyage over at like the beginning of the year, but they were like, they weren't like,
they didn't go to port yet.
Yeah, they weren't in the weeds yet.
Exactly, they weren't in the weeds yet. But overall, it was okay. Folks, we want to hear your suggestions for future things to review. Actually, in fact, we would hear any suggestions you might have, whether it's a Rushmore Death Valley, or maybe you want to know why they bothered with something.
Yeah,
let us know. You can reach us on Twitter at OVP Podcast. You can email us at OVPPodcast@gmail.com. And of course, Quinn, there is the Facebook group.
Yeah, just go on Facebook.com, search for us, and hit join.
Hit join, and of course, leave those reviews on iTunes.
Yeah.
Subscribe away. Folks, until next time, thank you so much for joining us for our Season 5 opener, episode number 41. We will be back next week for the last day of July, Quinn.
Oh, wow.
Summer is flying on by.
The cliffhanger of July.
Yeah, we'll see what happens next week, folks. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Have a great rest of your week. We will see you next week.
See ya.
Listen up. Three cool guys called Men on a Mission. They slam you, they jam you in every position. They jump into action when they hear the bell ring. And that's when Maple does his thing. Oscar and Mo, they help out. Predicting victory in every bout. Ice Todd knows the deal, and you better be wishing you don't run into Men on a Mission.
Will you stop.